This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say. What's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half time. But I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
The Wednesday Week is sponsored by Michael Constantine Wealth Management. We bet you can't find a financial advisor closer to Hillsborough Stadium.
There we go, right, and I've got my tabs open. Of course, I just don't even know what day it is at the moment.
I genuinely don't want you to, I don't want you to edit this. I want this to be the intro to the pod this week.
It's me, like, I don't know what day it is.
This is what I'm doing.
I know.
It's nobody it's been a day.
Had a lovely day. I've been to the pub with Mark, who listens to the podcast. Okay. Woo, here we go. I'm on a major delay here, so I'm not going to look at us too much because it's all very confusing. But apparently there's an issue with Zoom, Stevie said, so I don't know. Everybody, and a very warm welcome to the Wednesday Week, the original Sheffield Wednesday fans podcast. I am Vic, I'm back. They've managed to drag me on tonight, and believe me, kicking and bloody screaming because I got in from work at 7. My oven, I put my chicken in my oven, I didn't turn the oven on, the chicken didn't cook. Then I put it back in again, turned the oven on, then I had a power cut, and then Zoom's not been working. So I'm in a right good mood. So who better to keep me in such a wonderful mood? But I'm going to go around the screen. Hi, John.
Hello.
You're all right?
How's everybody? Yeah, I'm okay, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I think we've all had a kind of a long day at work, haven't we? And now a little bit later than scheduled, but here we are. So we'll make the best of it.
Blame Vodafone Broadband and EDF and whoever else. Just blame Putin, basically.
Yeah, Zoom's been funny, hasn't it, as well?
Yeah,
grapevine. So,
Blair, good evening. Hello, staring lovingly into the distance. I don't know what you're looking at.
As always, I've got bad attention span. I can't look at people's eyes.
How are you? Are you all right? You're doing all right?
Yeah, I'm great. Great.
Good. Yeah. Good. And then Stevie and John Barnes, how are you doing?
I'm all right. I don't know how John is, but we're all good.
Okay.
Yeah. How are you? How are you?
I am knackered, but all good, all good. Right, so let's kick off with a positive to get me out of my miserable cow mood. We beat Morecambe 3-0. Although I did see this morning, honestly, Wednesday Dars on Twitter, someone this morning tweeted, it was only Morecambe, let's not get carried away. What do you want? What do you want? Like, come on. Anyway, let's crack on in. So night before last, we travelled up to Morecambe via wherever, I don't even know. Is it Blackpool Way, Morecambe?
Yeah, it's not far from Fleetwood, is it?
I think. Seaside, isn't it? Stick around time. Did any of you go?
No.
Absolute part-timers.
Yeah.
I watched it on the telly. Bannon did all right, didn't he? Barry Chuffing Bannon. Now, I am a Bannon fan, as I've mentioned many times. I'm also, you know, a very honest critic of him when I need to be. But, John, he was just incredible last night, wasn't he? Was that not the Barry Bannon that we expected from this league? Because he has been off the pace a little bit to start with, and you know, everyone has, haven't they? You're coming back into work after summer off. So, what did you reckon last night?
It was sheer class. He was ahead, and I know it's funny to say it when such a short guy, but he was head and shoulders above everybody else on the pitch, wasn't he, in terms of his level of performance, dictated the play, got two assists, looked back to his best, looked too good for this league. I'm not saying that being brash and that, but he did. It was just great to see, just so influential when he's like that, isn't it? It's the Barry Bannon the world love and know. And when he's in that kind of form, it's just a joy to watch, really. I think it was Brian Lowe's in the Radio Sheffield commentary. And yeah, they were full of praise for Bannon and Wednesday's performance in general, particularly in that second half. So, you know, he can be a difference maker when he's like that, and there's nobody to touch him. And this is why opposition teams, apart from Morecambe and such, but this is why opposition teams will try and target him and shut him down, because he's the man, you know, when we're playing like in that kind of form, and he's allowed to dictate the play, then good things happen. And you saw that from Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, isn't it? Because I was thinking this last night, and I'm not going to lie, Stevie's done my notes today, because I was driving and I was like, Stevie, help. And one of them is Gregory misfiring. And obviously we've not seen a Gregory goal for like, what, three games, which is just obscene. Blair, do you think there's something in that, like John said, when Bannon gets so marked, do you think that is a case that then Gregory's allowed to be a bit of a free player? Because they are our two key threats, aren't they, really, on paper and in present. But last night, as far as I could see, Gregory couldn't even move, could he? He had three men on him. Whereas, like John said, Bannon had a bit of space.
Yeah, but we've got a luxury now, haven't we? We've got Michael Smith next to him now, who he played. We have Josh Windass. If you're an opposition manager, who's your mark? You can't double man everyone. If Gregory... I'm sure Darren Moore's telling Gregory, right, if you're getting triple marks or double marks, just keep doing what you're doing. He does his clever little runs. He always seems to run into the channels. And if he's occupying two players, then it's only going to give a lot of space for Windass, Bannon, Smith. God, keep firing names out. I've got that big of a squad now. It's ridiculous.
Stephen May, for all I know.
I think Stephen May might even would have even done well in this team.
Let's not go there. But I think, yeah, that's all well and good, Blair, but it's cost of living crisis. The man's got to be on a goal bonus. Like, surely at some point he's got to start picking some out again, hasn't he?
Oh, 100%. I think he will pop in. I think going forward, eventually he might be the one we bring off the bench. So I was so impressed with Smith. And it's funny, that was his first game he had fully fit this season, and I didn't realize how big he were. It was almost like having a new you, but let's see if the fans turn him as much. Even if he chips him with 10 goals, it's less than last season, but we've got that much firepower. I'm not concerned.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? Gregory's always been touted about as maybe a 40 goal a season striker in this league with the way he was going, but obviously now, like you said, we've got that many options that we've got to expect that, you know, I would rather have four 10-goal-a-season strikers than not have just relying on Gregory, I suppose. So, yeah, it's...
Well, last season we did rely on him too much, because when he got injured for spells, that's when we had our bad patches. It sort of like coincided with each other.
I think the conversation point is there because of the Barnsley game. And I think if he'd not missed the opportunities that he missed at Barnsley, I think it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because he's missed the chances at 0-0. He missed the chance at 1-0 down, which would have changed the game at Barnsley. I maintain that. And I know we're going back to that game. But for me, the fact that he's not scored and the fact that he just looks a little bit off it, we can talk about whether or not he's being outmarked and whatever. And I'm not disagreeing that he is, but I just think the fact that he had that sort of substandard performance against Barnsley has sort of raised that point. He's not scored for a couple of games, and maybe that's a bit of an issue that we need to address. But I agree with you guys. From my point of view, if we're sharing the goals across Windass, Smith, Gregory, anybody else that's coming in and contributing and firing, it's not necessarily a problem. It just goes to show that we're not going to be a one team oh, one player team. And I think the best teams that get out of this league, they might every now and again have a striker that's going to go and do bits. But for me, if we can get four or five players in and around 10 figures, then 10 figures,
God.
I meant to say double figures. We'll not be a million miles away, will we? And that's all we can ask at the moment, particularly. And I'll say, if you look at our backline, I know it can be quite divisive at times, but we've kept five clean sheets out of eight, I think, with Stockdale between the sticks, and I don't think the backline's looking too shabby at the minute through the middle. So it's not too bad.
I think in recent memory, the last time that we had a season where we were getting goals from all 10 positions was probably the Wembley season, really, when we were seeing goals, you know, and we were seeing absolute worldy goals every week, weren't we? It was almost a joke in the end, but that was kind of the last time that we were seeing a consistent sort of sharing of the goods, if you like. So, Stevie, I'm going to come to you, even though you just put it in, about... I'm on my list.
Sorry.
So about the love of my life. We'll talk about the love of yours later. He's point number three. But obviously last night, my boy got the opening goal, eventually. Got an assist late on for the Smith goal, didn't he? So, Mr. Windass, you know, he's starting to celebrate a little bit now. And we've talked about it. Like, we talked about it last Sunday morning when we were having breakfast. And we were just saying, like, maybe it's time that he starts to celebrate and just enjoy himself a bit. Because, you know,
basically, you told him, when you score Tuesday night, I want to see a celebration.
Yeah, I was like, look, come on, like, while we're having breakfast in bed, let's have a chat and let's just talk about celebrating in future. And he said, all right, I'll give it a little bit. I don't want to go too far, so I promise Dean, do you know what I mean? But, yeah, he's looking good, isn't he? He did all right last night, the night before. But it doesn't matter when you're listening to this, does it? So
he is. Do you know what? It's a funny one because at times I think if you watch him, he kind of goes under the radar a little bit in terms of his input and his performance through games. And there's been times where I've watched matches and thought he's been quiet today. But you can't argue with his stats. And am I right in thinking in eight games he's got seven goals and assists? You know,
I don't know, Stevie. You're the one that's put Windass stats on my script.
I think that's where it's come from.
That's correct, though. It is correct.
Yeah. If you're saying, right, we're going to have a player who, and I think we said at the start, we were talking about Bannon and Gregory being our two sort of most effective players. Windass is right up there as well. We had all that nonsense pre-season around let's sell him on, let's...
Oh, yeah.
Let's get a profit out of him.
Let's blog him. Jesus.
What are we talking about? It makes no
sense. Turned down 2 million last season.
It makes no sense whatsoever to me. I just think, you know, he's in, and the formation that we played the other night was, I've still not figured it out, to be honest with you. And I know there'll be a load of people that will listen to this and we say we've set up like this and we've set up like that. It seemed really lopsided. And I do worry a little bit that if that's a signal of intent that Moore is going to go, right, I'm just going to do this and I'm not going to deviate from this for the next sort of 3-4 weeks. I think if we set up on Saturday in the same way that we set up on Tuesday against Ipswich, I think that's going to cause a little bit of a headache. I think we need to be much more rigid against a team that's going to be in and around it at the end of the season. I think we get away with it against teams like Morecambe because I thought Mighton was sort of really out wide and we've got Windass was sort of almost playing in the 10 role, wasn't it? It was almost a 4-2.
I like him as a 10 role, though. I like that.
Listen, he can do it. He can do it against teams like Morecambe. But if he's going to play in a 10 behind two, Smith and Windass, we've got to be thinking about how that three in front of the back four is going to be setting up. And I think we've got away with one on Tuesday night with Mighton being out wide playing as effectively an out-and-out winger that I don't think we could do on Saturday. I'd have kittens if we set up on Saturday the way we set up the other night. I really would.
I love that phrase. I
don't even know where's it come from.
John, we've just heard the name mentioned a few times there and I flinched a little bit. Mighton, what are we thinking? For me, jury's out for me at the moment. I'm not sure. And I'm also not one to, you know, chastise a player two games in, but looking a little bit wobbly, isn't
Yeah, I understand the comment. It's he gets knocked off the ball very easily so far, doesn't it? It's like you want to go and, you know, put him on a plan and game a couple of Guinness a night to get put a few pounds on and get some upper body strength. But
he's obviously hard, isn't he? We saw that with the dance.
He's got some shape to him, hasn't he? But he just got knocked off the ball far too easily. So I don't know if that's just he just needs more game time and he just needs to, you know, he's playing at perhaps a more physical level now, dropping the further down you go, the more you're going to get kicked and the more you're going to get pushed off the ball, yeah. Like League One, League Two, etc. So he's got to harden himself to that, and he's got to realise that players are going to do that too, and there's some big boys down in this league and he's going to have to hold his own against them. So yeah, his early days, I do like his directness though. He's a player that will look to run at players, yeah. And that always scares defenders. I think Wilkes is pretty similar as well. He didn't feature on Tuesday, but so yeah, I think it is still quite early. Some positive signs, but definitely some things to work on as well.
You off on your holidays, John? Just noticed you look like you sat in an airport with your suitcase.
Suitcase, yeah. You've been kicked out.
You know, we're going on in John's background, isn't there?
There's always something going on, isn't there? Yeah.
Do you know, Mighton reminds me, is an analogy. I don't know if this will resonate with people. If you are a Sunday morning footballer who has been playing for a certain number of years and you're playing in a decent sort of team, and then you've got like a junior
team. Are you about to compare him to yourself?
No, I'm terrible. You've got the lad who comes in and he's the captain of the junior team and he plays every Sunday morning with his junior side. And then he ends up getting involved with adults teams. And it's best player on pitch with kids, and he can run up and down.
Yeah. I'm seeing where you're going with this.
He goes and plays in whatever it is now, Superdraw, Imperial, Meadowall, Aswells, and you put him into a side and you go, right, he's done bits at whatever level. I know that sounds a little bit perverse, if you like, because he's played with Forest and Forest have gone up. But for me, he just seems like that kid who's now stepping up a level in terms of physicality.
Like Menigan's boys, isn't it? It's a weight thing and it's a strength thing as well, isn't it? In this league, you're going to get some, to coin a damn foot phrase, shit kickers. You're going to get people who are going to chuck you about.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a player in there, and I don't know if it's a case of finding his feet, getting used to a formation, which we've changed, and not necessarily to say that we've changed it to accommodate him, but if you look at, you're going to get the inevitable comparisons with Corbinu. You're going to get those, as far as I'm concerned. Corbin, who looked a little bit more physical in terms of the stature that he got. So I think if that's your starting point and that's your sort of your frame of reference, I think he's got a way to go. I wouldn't expect to see him involved on Saturday from the start, but Darren Moore, it's
Corbin, who was like, he was one of those players, for me, he was always very vertical. I don't know if that makes sense, but just as a describing word of him, he was a very vertical person. He was very, like, straight.
Long and upright.
It was like playing against a rake. Like he didn't seem to, there was no like bend when he ran. He just like ran like a cartoon. Anyway, going to talk just a little bit quickly about Mr. Darren Moore. Obviously the subs that he made the other night, we were, you know, what, 28 shots before the first goal, I think it was, 29 shots. Absolutely ridiculous. Kudos to their keeper, by the way, because oh my God, did he do a job the other night. And if you've lost 3-0 at home and your keeper gets man of the match, that shows what an outstanding performance he put in. And I've not looked him up, I don't know who he was, but Connor Ripley.
Connor Ripley.
Yeah.
Ex-Man United, would it? On the youth team, I think, or something. But he was outstanding. If it wasn't for him, it would have been... this is Connor Ripley. Stuart Ripley is a different player. That's Stuart a winger, then.
I know, Stuart Ripley's his dad. Stuart Ripley were at Blackburn. He won't leave with Blackburn in 95. I'm sure he finished his career out with us. I'll stand correct. Yeah,
I've got a vague
recollection of Stuart Ripley.
Looking at Conor Ripley's stats, like, he's not played a lot of football, so that must have been the best game of his career against us.
Wow.
Yes, he did. Stuart Ripley did make 6 appearances for us and scored 1 goal. And he is now working as a solicitor. there you go.
The more you know.
Yep. He made 2002 after us, after working as a sports physio, and he is now a solicitor.
I thought
he also in 2 caps for England.
He did.
He sailed about his son being Conor Ruffey then.
100%, happening. I'm telling you that's the player. I like that John thought I thought that Conor Ruffey was true.
yeah,
95 and now played in goal for Morecambe.
His son Conor Ruffey is a goalkeeper who plays for Preston North End.
Steve's on the mic.
Someone hasn't updated the Stuart Ruffey Wikipedia page, have they? he's not a young lad actually. He's 29, but I mean, he was just outstanding, wasn't he? He was just.
The first save for Windass is in the first half was fucking right good. I couldn't put it any other way. It was an unbelievable save that one against Windass. It was like what? It was that analogy of like it's not going to be our night. We could play until next week and won't score. You know what I mean? Yeah. One of them things you don't want caught.
Well, that was the thing, wasn't it? And then the subs that came on, you know, Deli Bashiru, love him. Absolutely.
I love him. Yeah, I do as well.
I just think he's just wonderful and he's so happy. I love a happy...
Do you think he didn't start because he's not signed his new contract yet?
Well, I didn't even know about that.
Well, is that a contract in the summer, isn't he? And
he started... I don't know about that.
More is that political, to be honest. But, yeah, for me, the changes just won us the game, didn't they?
I reckon we would have drawn that last season. Because mm-hmm. Last season, that would have been like... What was encouraging about Tuesday night was just how many attempts we had on goal. Like, last season, that would have been very, very lethargic, side to side. Do you know what I mean? Pot shots from outside the mm-hmm. box, like, and not really threatening the goal. But like we said, like, making their keeper pull off save after save after save and then coming close. And it was just all Wednesday, wasn't it? I think there was 15 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes in the first half, and Morecambe had a bit of the ball, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
And do you know what? I don't think. I know we had the big win recently. You'll have to remind me who it was.
Forest Green,
and they were awful, weren't they? Mm. I don't think Morecambe were that bad. I think we just, you know, they just.
No, they sat deep and all. They tried frustrating us, and last season that 100% would have drawn that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Oh, we would have lost to a corner.
Yeah, that was what I was dreading. It got to the last 2 minutes and I thought, God, we're 3-0 up, but we could easily lose this.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting listening to, I don't know if you got it, Vic, but on iFollow, I somehow managed to get the home commentary on that. So it was the Morecambe guys who were commentating on the game. And they were up to like 60 minutes and that you could say they were kind of in the game, but then after that, Wednesday kind of took over and took control. But they were almost kind of thinking that because how well they'd play for 60 minutes, that 3-0 was harsh on them. And I was thinking, right, no, we absolutely dominated your second half.
Yeah,
and,
I think we dominated them, but I don't think, I think we showed them enough respect. I don't think we disrespected them all, but I think they played up. I think they, you know, it wasn't,
yeah.
It was a hard fought win, to be honest, mainly because of the keeper. Anyway, let's move on, shall we? Blair,
yeah.
Have your game.
Do you want to play a game?
Yeah, I love a game. I didn't even know about this because I don't listen.
Yeah, last week.
Sorry. Oh, it's I've got 2 categories. You can pick. I'll let the pod decide which one you want. So I've got.
What do we have to do?
So So it's you go around.
Oh no, I have listened because I got the milk shirt.
Yeah. Oh, did you get?
I did. See? And Fudge didn't believe me, but I did.
Yeah. You weren't there.
Literally, he uploaded it that night, and you said, "I'm listening right now." You were the first person to listen.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I forgot about that. I don't normally listen.
So there's 2 categories. We've got players signed since Chancery took over the club.
Ooh.
Which is a staggering 87.
Okay. Yeah, I want that one.
Oh, you've got Sheffield Wednesday permanent managers.
No, players since Chancery.
Right. I mean,
I think that's a good one because there's going to be some absolute shockers in there.
Mate,
and I've got one to start.
It's ridiculous. Like 87. And yet people say he's a crap chairman. I mean, you can't.
I mean, he's not signed some great ones, has he? Can I kick off?
We've signed 87 players, so he must be a good chairman.
He's putting his hand in his pocket.
Right.
Well, even a free transfer isn't free anymore. You've got to pay sign on season, crap like that. Right, my order I've got here is Vic, Stevie, John. So we'll do that.
Herbie Emanuelson.
Oh, what a player. Bonus point. Yeah, go on. So he's in there. Of course he is.
Oh, you know what? I'm going early and I'm like, who did we sign before and after Chancery? Bannon.
Yeah, Bannon. 100%. Boom. Go on, John.
Madu Sugu.
Oh, my God. Cheers, John. That's like one underneath Bannon. That'll do. Yeah, go on. Victoria, it's your go.
Vincent Sasso.
Boom. We signed him twice, so duplicates don't count. Yeah, so ones. That's one and done.
Does this include loan players or?
Yeah, loan, free transfers, and
Tom Lees.
Tom Lees was before Steve. Yeah, you were eliminated. Yeah, Stuart Gray signed him.
He was
a Stuart
Gray masterclass, yeah.
Yeah.
You had 85 more, Steve.
I've gone out early, Anna. Come back in. Can I buy? Can I have a buyback? give me one buyback.
Well, it's your competitors, not me. What do you think? Is Steve allowed a buyback?
I'll let Vic as the.
otherwise this one is going to get really boring. I'm going to go and put Kettle on.
Go on, then.
Go on, then.
I'll go with everyone's favourite tramboy, Felipe Melo.
Oh, Felipe Melo.
See, Melo is in a grey area. I don't think Chancery fully took over.
Vic wins.
No, I remember signing Felipe Melo.
No, it was on deadline day, wasn't it?
David Garrido was saying,
Don't go to bed, everyone. We've got another one coming for Wednesday fans.
And we'd signed Felipe Melo da Silva, not Felipe Melo.
Not the Brazilian.
No.
Let me just double check this because I'm sure he signed him under Gray and he hardly played.
No, I think Gray was better than that. Oh, what's the
because
one?
Because we got Sergio Buse and all.
Oh, that's who I was going to say then. Tuffy now.
Yeah, but that was the end. That's not Chancery. It was technically Chancery's money, but he wasn't technically the owner at the time.
Right.
We needed to figure out the parameters of this game.
All right, okay. Why would you go that late? Why would you go that early? Right. Okay, so the first season, Carlos Carvajal took over Sheffield Wednesday.
That'll do, right.
Continue.
Connor Wickham.
Yeah, let me go all the way up my list. Come.
It's me, innit? Right, after last round, I'm playing safe for a bit. Gregory.
Good lad. Jonathan.
Fernando Forestier.
I loved him.
Yeah, no, I'm sad.
Beste, as he was affectionately known.
Go on, Vic, you.
David Stockdale.
Let's go through the seasons first before you
get...
Just last season.
I'm not breaking no rules.
Stephen.
Iorfa.
Dominic Iorfa.
Never give the ball away.
He does give the ball away. He gives the ball away quite a lot. Yeah, Gary Hooper, of course. Loved him.
Gary Hooper, yeah.
On a bit.
Stephen Fletcher.
Oh,
the guy who ruined it all by pissing off Forestieri.
Alman Abdi.
Oh, what a signing.
Oh my God, Alman Abdi.
What a player.
What a guy. Club legend.
What a player.
We were so excited when we signed him.
I'll go for Ross Wallace.
I'd argue he had one good season for us, but he was brilliant.
Nice guy, by the way. Really good bloke.
All right, name dropper. is it me?
Yeah.
Ihekwe.
Yeah. He's great, by the way. Isn't
he? I love him.
Marco Matthias.
Oh, that goal.
See, I was thinking about him. I was thinking about him today because people, you know, people want about Nunes being like better than Haaland before Haaland kicked the ball. But I think Matthias finished like top goal scorer in Portugal the season we signed him. So it's kind of like you're based on Portugal. Like,
yeah, I think he was third top goal scorer, wasn't he? Behind two of the superstars, which I can't remember who they were at the time. I'll go for arguably the guy that should have started in the playoff final. Alex Lopez.
Oh, what a player.
Yeah. We replaced him with David Jones.
He was my next guest. He was
That's
my next
it all went wrong.
Oh, you can have him. Sorry. I was angry of David Jones. Seeped out.
We could be here all night, couldn't we?
87's a lot to get through.
Oh, well, nothing else happened. Plymouth, it happened, and it's a little bit.
Hold on, is it me?
There's one that I think bit what I thought you'd say straight away.
Josh Windass.
Yeah.
No, I'm not shouting, you darling.
Yeah, love. Yeah.
Yes, Victoria Wood.
Marvin Johnson.
Marvin Johnson. Yep, of course it is.
Mark McGuinness.
Oh, yeah. I'm just thinking, who the hell's that?
Back to you, Vic.
Oh, God. You know what? It's not as easy as you think, is it?
It melts my head that this is so difficult.
Oh, yeah. There's some real knobheads on here.
Mighton.
Yeah.
George Byers.
Malik Wilkes.
I bet our literal dozens of listeners are screaming at their
our scores of listeners.
I mean, there's still like loads from last season left.
I know. It's, you know, it's getting harder, isn't it? Smith.
Yes. Lewis Wing.
You know, he was. I was buzzing about that signing. I like probably like one of the one of the last season that I really like got excited about, and did nothing.
I'll go for. Oh, Sammy Hutchinson.
Yes, mate. If you said that. I mean, yeah, because we signed him against Tony Pulis.
Re-signed.
Yeah. But the first time we signed, that was Stuart Gregg, I think. Swung back to you, Vic.
Reece James. With his England call-up.
Yeah. I know.
Well, I've got one for Vic next time.
Oh, I've just thought of one. It's probably the same one.
Harley Dean.
Rough.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the lunchbox has landed. Yes, Daniel Lackman.
Darryl. Was it Darryl, Darren?
Darryl Lackman. He was the first signing under Carlos.
Videoed his own arrival to Hillsborough right from the Netherlands.
Never played. Did he even play? Like, in the league, because I can't think he did.
I can't really remember. Fizz, Deli Bashiru.
Yes.
Ben Arkin.
Oof. Oh God.
I'm all over this now. I've got loads. Oof. I'm here for days. It's good. Great. Come on, let's go. Let's go.
Massimo Luongo.
Van Aken. Oh my God.
Jeez, another bust.
£4 million.
It shouldn't be this difficult. Dennis Adeniran.
That song does not get sung enough. Yeah, he's always injured, but yeah. But...
Jack Hunt.
Yes, mate.
Good times.
Oh, I've got one. I've got a big one.
You're a dad latch, mate.
Oh, I miss Dave.
I'm going to chuck one out there, and I don't think it's Chancellor, but it might be a really good answer if it is. And it was a lad we had on trial, and he went up to Stocksbridge Park Steels and never came back again. He went back to Portugal. Diogo Amado.
Eat on my list, mate.
Fair enough.
Oh, you're out.
John, you're out.
I'm out.
You had so many more you could have picked.
I know.
And you went for someone I've never even heard of.
Jaden Brown.
Yep.
Daniel Poodle. Oh.
Poodle.
Hallam, you know.
Should have got taken off against Huddersfield. He was blowing out his arse.
Jordan Rhodes.
Florian Cambieri.
Ooh, God, it's like a bloody tennis match now.
Sorry, next door's crying, so that's really putting me off as well. Oh my God, where's it gone?
I'm gonna have to push for an answer to Victoria, I think.
Whilst Vic's thinking, we haven't done this for a bit, but we could give Michael Constantine a shout.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Thank you to Michael Constantine, all management, paying for that. We can actually
paying for this.
for the content.
Think of a player.
I'll give you a clue. He points a lot.
No. That's not what I'm thinking of.
They've had buyers, haven't we?
I am thinking
of another clue. You might read a bedtime one.
Jordan Story.
Adam Reach.
Yeah, he was. He was.
Kieran Lee.
Oh,
no, Lee. Yeah. Lee was before.
No, we signed him again, didn't we?
No, we didn't. Oh. Dave Jones side, Kieran Lee.
As a right back.
From Oldham, yeah.
Right, then to win it, Stephen.
There you go, Stephen.
Ooh. Goodness me. My mind's gone blank.
Oh.
Backinson.
Oh.
There we go. Yeah.
There you go.
That was painful.
I bet there's about another 50 players in we could have named
that. Yeah, there's a good 20, like a good 30, probably more.
Yeah.
Do you know just what? We've just named a lot of players, right? But there's only one name that we should be talking about this evening. I'm going to hand it over to his dad. Stevie, what a month it's been for your lad. How proud are you right now? Like, I mean, I'm surprised it's John Barnes up on the wall tonight, to be honest. I was expecting Liam with his award.
That John Barnes picture, he's a West Ham fan, the guy who does it. He's an artist, a guy called Sean Salmon, and he's got some bits around. He does bits to commission. I'm just giving a quick name. I'm telling my other half what I want for Christmas. That's getting replaced. I'm telling you now.
Really it's gonna be
replaced. I need a Liam Palmer commission picture sorted out.
What a month he's had, though, Stevie. I mean, Liam's, I think, is a year or 2 years younger than me. You know, he's past 30. He's, you know, in theory, should be coming to the sort of slowdown of his career. But in fact, he went and ran 10K a day throughout the summer. He's gone and popped up with some goals that we just don't expect from him. And he's just been outstanding, hasn't he? I mean, as a parent, you must be thrilled.
Do you know what? I'm buzzing. I think he's everything that you see at the moment is just absolutely brilliant around him. We talk about him week in, week out, really. And I know it's a bit of a thing where I'll get tagged and people will comment about it. But the sentiment's there. He's just been absolutely phenomenal this season. Very much deserved player of the month. I don't think anybody would argue with that. I thought he was good the other night as well. And it made me not laugh, but I raised a few eyebrows on the chat the week before last when it all went to shit when we lost against Barnsley. Everyone was terrible. And who was it? Somebody in the chat was saying, your lad's not doing very well today. And I was like, he's doing better than 7-8 others that were on the pitch. He's, you know, at his worst this season, he's still been one of our better players. I've got no arguments, qualms or concerns. If you think we've signed for Maywell, we're back to the game, aren't we? We've signed for Maywell, we've signed Ihiekwe, we've signed McGuinness, we've signed Dean, we've signed Hunt, we've signed Marvin Johnson, we've signed Reece James, we've signed a plethora, myriad of defenders to come in because he's going to go and play and be, you know, a squad player. At the start of this season, don't tell me that Liam Palmer wasn't going to be anything more than a squad player this year. That's a fact. And he comes in, he does it again and again and again. The guy's absolutely outstanding. He's been an absolute revelation. And for me, he's getting better with age. So fair play to him. Lovely to see. Did I see a stat that we've done something by having the last three players of the month? It was him, Bannon and Gregory, I think it was. Mm-hmm. We've had three player of the months on the bounce, which is testament to the things that we're doing. My dog's going to bark in a minute.
I'm just saying, was that Malcolm that came in? Malcolm's
in. Dog's in the room and he's trying to get out now. But yeah, for me, absolutely brilliant. We can talk about the stuff. You can take that back to Darren Moore. Is it right? Is it wrong in terms of the way we set up, the way we play, so on and so forth. But the fact that we've got players that are statistically recognised as the best players in the league is testament to the way that we set up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to drag this out then, so I'll just quickly mention as well that the Sky Bet League One team of the week this week, we had four of the 11. So Byers, Bannon, Windass and Smith all made it into that team of the week. So again, like we just said, it's testament to what's happening. It's weird because it's exactly what we expected. It's almost like, you know, when you go into a probation meeting at work or whatever and they go, yeah, you're doing exactly as I've asked you to do. I'll put achieving. And you're like, no, I want a pay rise. And they go, oh, no, you're just doing exactly as I thought. We expected so much that this is just like, oh, yeah, of course. It's like nearly 50% of the team of the week is our team. So let's go on to Saturday. We are playing Ipswich at home. Bit of a scary one, really, isn't it? This is a bit of one that could put a dent in everything, couldn't it, John?
It could, and I suppose I go back to Steve's earlier comment about whether Darren Moore will stick with tactics and formation that's just got a 3-0 win at Morecambe, or whether he'll give Ipswich more respect and revert back to the trusted 3-5-2 or variant of that. Yeah, they're top of the league. They're the early pace setters. They're the early favourites for the league, much like, favourites to go up top two, much like ourselves. Had a better start than us, but you could argue that they've also had, on paper, not, you know, easier fixtures, let's call it. So it's going to be the biggest test for us this season at Hillsborough in terms of the quality of the opposition. So we're going to have to be really at it. We're going to have to set the tone early, I think. I don't think we can afford to have a traditional slow start and come out and try and turn it around second half, although we've got good squad depth, just like Ipswich have as well. So it's going to be a real test. We're going to have to really be on it, otherwise I'm not 100% sure that we're going to get 3 points, but maybe, you know, a hard-fought draw, unless we really turn it on. I respect Ipswich. I think they're going to be a good side and the ones to catch all season. If you finish above Ipswich, I think you go up top two.
Which is, you know, that's as much as we expect, isn't it? Anything less than that really is a bit of a failure. Blair, what are your thoughts? I'm just having a look at the team list now. They've got Ladapo, who's, you know, that's 1-0, isn't it?
John Jules.
John Jules.
His cameo appearance.
Scoring,
I forgot. He's one for the 87, isn't he? So what are we thinking? Are we?
It's one of these. Like, if we lose on Saturday, it's not going to determine if we finish top two at the end of the season, but it's not going to help, is it, at all? I think Chancery's and Darren Moore's objective this season is to win the league, not even settle for second. I think the squad is easily good enough to win this division. I think the squad's depth is ridiculous. And I think John made a great point last pod when he said, like, in the winter months, when these smaller squads, and Ipswich haven't got really as in-depth squad as ours, our big squad's going to come into play then. For them, I think it's one of them things. I think they're going to come up and set up, trying to contain us and hit us on the break. I think they're going to go for it. For them, I think it's going to be one of them. For them, they don't want to lose it, but they're happy with a draw. And I think for us, we've got to win it if we want to go up as champions. So I think it'll be an exciting fixture. So when's it going to win?
Stevie, how do you fancy Josh Windass or Michael Smith up against Richard Keogh? Again, not that they haven't been a million times in the last few years.
He's not going to be. I don't think Keogh's going to be able to deal with Windass. But I don't understand why we have to win on Saturday. To Blair's point, that sort of thinking is the worry. And I know we've had a bit of a light-hearted one. We've not had much to talk about tonight in terms of the stuff that has happened with everything else.
We're the home team.
So?
We're the home team and we're four points behind them. So, if we lose...
We don't have to win. I'm not saying that we don't have to win.
They're not going to drop a lot of points this season. We've got to take them points off them. If they get one point off us, they're still going to be 4 points above us.
When you say we have to win, what if we don't?
What if we don't? I mean, we've given them a massive head start in winning the division. And that's what we want to do, isn't it?
Yeah. Would you be happy going up?
Well, obviously. Yeah. I've said no, am I?
And this
that'd
is the
be
problem.
Shit going up.
listen. My thing is, I think I worry. I am worried about Saturday, and the reason that I'm worried about Saturday is the fallout from the Barnsley game was. I think we talked about it last week. The fallout from the Barnsley game was ridiculous. It was absolutely stupid. If you look at the games that we've lost and the things that were said afterwards, you know, the performance, no plan B, Moore's not got a clue. We're now looking at, he got a name check last week, but Goodoe and his 21% win ratio under Moore in the Championship. And you can't legislate for the fact that he's this level of percentage, the best manager we've had, because he's in tier three with this squad. And you can pull at every single thread. The bottom line is the squad's a squad because of Darren Moore. We went down under Darren Moore, but not because of Darren Moore. We went down under Darren Moore because we had to stop the rot. You know, it was necessary. We need to get back out of the league, and I want us to get back out of the league. Don't get me wrong, but it's a marathon, not a sprint. If we don't win on Saturday and Twitter goes into meltdown, I think that'll have a significant impact on the morale of the squad, because they do look. Bannon's on Twitter and he's active. Windass is on Twitter and he's active. People are interacting with fan base, you know, they're reading the stuff people are saying about Darren Moore, who is the manager of the club. At the end of the day, it's pointless arguing about getting Moore out now, in my opinion, because he's built that squad and we're talking about it being the best squad in the league. If we get rid of him, we're going to have to get somebody in, and that's an absolute Hail Mary. You know, how can we say that the person that comes in is going to do and get the same out of the players that we've got, because this is Darren Moore's squad. He's got to get us up. And if he doesn't get us up this season, then I'll wish him well, give him a high five, shake his hand, whatever you want to do, but we move on. But he needs to have our support as a manager until it's feasibly not possible for us to go up. So if we're 8th, 9th, 10th at Easter and we don't look like making the playoffs, then we can start to say, right, we'll pull at it now and we'll start to regroup early. But if we're in around sixth and seventh and we're looking at the playoffs, as begrudging as it may be, we've got to stick with the guy, because if we get into that shootout of the playoffs, so be it. We're talking about getting rid of him now because we're, what, fourth? Fourth?
I think anyone's talking about getting rid of him. I think it is just a case that, you know, this Saturday, if we want to go up automatic, we need to be beating teams that are in and around us, don't we? We can't be relying on battering Forest Green. We can't be relying on battering...
Right. Nottingham. Listen, you're absolutely right. And believe you me, I want to win on Saturday. And I think I take the point. I think my feelings are that if we don't win on Saturday, we've got to hold our nerve and say, right, let's have a look at what's going on. Then let's see what's going on around us. It's early in the season. Let's not chuck the baby out with the bathwater or whatever analogy saying you want to use. We just need to be mindful of the fact that it's early in the season and we've got to get things right. If we lose to a scrappy goal at home to Ipswich, you know what's coming. You know what's going to happen. We could dominate the game on Saturday and lose, and, you know, Moore's going to get fucking pelters. He is.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of hysteria around sections of the fan base because we don't want the risk of trying to get through the playoffs because we've just been burnt the last couple of times, aren't we? There's this expectation now that they want to go up top two because we don't want that. It's not a lottery, it's not quite the right term, but we don't want that risk of trying to go through the playoffs again and then, you know, having his heart's broken in semis or maybe even going all the way to Wembley and losing again. We want to eliminate that doubt and just go up top two like when we did, you know, last time we were in League One and we beat Wickham. So that every point dropped or every bad result is creating a bit of hysteria among the fan base because they don't want to have that, you know, have that path again. They want top two. So naturally, yeah, a bit of overreaction to bad defeats and bad performances.
I think, like I said, if you know, if we want to go up, but not only that, if we want to go up and survive being up, you know, it doesn't pay you from the Championship to League One to go down. You don't achieve anything financially, or you know, there's no benefit to it whatsoever. No. So if we go up, we've got to stay up. Yeah. You know that. So if we can't be beating teams that are in and around us, what's, you know, we can't go up because we're not going to be beating mid-table Championship teams. And I can't see, I know obviously there'll be new signings and whatever, but there's not going to be major amounts of money coming in for going up to bloody original League One. And there's, you know, you're not going to see a massive change in the squad. This squad, in theory, if we went up this season, this squad's got to do it in the Championship because you're not going to have big name strikers or whatever coming in. We've got to last this squad for a good couple of years.
You're not allowed with the restrictions. So. Mm-hmm. Like you say, you bang on, but because this is why there's probably been a focus on, for once, players, younger players, isn't there, that we've been signing, done some astute signings. We've not paid a lot of money for. If we don't go up and we have to move and you know, sell them on, we'll make a profit. If we do go up, they're still young enough to progress and get better for the league above. I think you bang on with that. If we do go up, we're pretty much looking at the...
It's going to be the squad, isn't it? You might have a couple of signings. And you're probably going to have a couple that you let go because they won't be good enough for the league above. You know, you might look at your Gregories and whoever, you know, same age as me, is getting on a bit. So, yeah, I think for me, it's an important win. I think if we don't win, then, yeah, all right, it's not the end of the world. But if we're not winning these games, then are we going to survive next season? That's my little bit on it. Anyway,
can I just tag last? Shut up, you. Oh, I like it when you talk, Stevie. Last bit, just I don't think there's a massive chasm between League One and the Championship, and I think the way that certainly Rotherham and Sunderland at the moment have gone up, have tweaked their style of play and tweaked their squad a little bit, but there's not been a massive overhaul from either one of them, to my knowledge. Sunderland have stuck with the players that got them up, and they've secured their loan players. And Rotherham have done excellent business, as much as it pains me to say. But you look where they're sitting in the league at the moment, and the way that they're playing, and the way that they're sort of competing. I think if we go up with the squad that we've got, I think we'll be all right. I do. I genuinely do. Obviously, you make the point. We're going to have to make the tweaks, and you can look at some key players will move on. And without wanting to mention names, are they good enough for the Championship from where they are at the moment? But for me, I think it's all in hand. I think with a couple of astute loan signings, if we do go up, I think we'll be all right. I do.
Yeah, I think, this is the Wendy, isn't it? So if we go up to the Championship, people will think nothing...
Double promotion.
Nothing below the playoffs and the Championship is going to be good enough with an ageing League One squad. That's going to be the way, isn't it? So we'll wait and see. Anyway, we've had an hour. Any other business?
How have we done an hour out of Morecambe?
On Blair's game.
Yeah,
much.
we spent half time
again.
People who fast forwarded are like, you've only been on 10 minutes. Have we got any other business, Stevie? You've put that you've got some, but I don't know what it means.
Yeah, just someone. Speakeasy Club on Twitter. Remind me his name, Vic. Go on, because I talked to him. Yeah. We've talked to him a fair bit on Twitter and exchanged messages. Has been involved with the pod in the past, done little bits, but has done a really big thing this week. Lives in Wales, can't get to the games week in, week out, and has got a season ticket on the North Stand, and he's messaged me today and said he's put a tweet out yesterday. I can't get every week. If there's somebody that wants my season ticket, basically, when I can't get, I'd be happy to sort of share, because money's hard, times are hard, money's tight, cost of living crisis, etc. I'd rather my ticket go to somebody who's capable of getting to a game when I can't, and that'd be brilliant. He's messaged me today, 445, I think it was, as of sort of lunchtime today, interactions with that tweet. He's had one expression of interest. You know, if one person has reached out, it's not a scam, it's not a marketing ploy or anything like that. It's just a genuinely good bloke with a good art. If you follow him on Twitter, you'll see some of the stuff that he does. It resonates with me a lot. I said to him tonight, I'll mention it on here. Have a look on Twitter, look it up. I think his handle is Speakeasy Club One. Search it out. If you're a Wednesday fan that listens to this, listens to any other podcast, listens to and interacts with us in any way that are finding times difficult at the moment, and you want to go and see a game of football and sit on the North Stand, get in touch, because the guy's golden, and I think it'd be really good to sort of spread the love a little bit.
That's it.
That's your lot.
Soz. Are you done?
I'm done. Not sure. We hadn't done predictions, but...
Oh, yeah, predictions. Okay, I'll go around.
Well, we're going to lose, but according to you, Steve. So yeah. Sorry.
I didn't say we were going to lose. Yeah. Molly said we were going to lose.
I think I'll stick with... When I was sort of talking about the game, I think I can't see a 3 points, so I'm going for a 2-2 draw.
Desmond. Blair.
2-0. Wednesday. I think we're going to dominate. I think we're going to put a marker down for the season.
Mr. Spence?
Hope you're right, mate.
1-1.
You just want to watch the Twitter burn. That's what you want.
Yeah, he does. He just wants to
see it. Honestly, I'm so scared.
So we can come on the podcast next week and slag them all off.
Yeah. Well, as this is my one appearance, probably of the month. It's my time of the month when I appear on the Wednesday week. I am going to go for 2-1 Wednesday.
Get in.
And that Ladapo is going to be...
On a very, 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 very quick note, it's going to be quite strange singing the different words to the national anthem, isn't it, on Saturday in honour of the... of the past monarch and the new one that's coming. So that's going
to
be...
Do you know what, though? Do you reckon we'll have to stand up for 8 minutes and watch a video about old Liz, like we did with the King of Thailand? Do you think? It's going to be interesting, isn't it? I really hope that... Yeah, obviously, it has been sad this last week. We've had, you know, the news of obviously lost Her Majesty the Queen, and we have a new king, His Majesty Charles III. So there is going to be remembrance of the Queen on Saturday. So please, please be respectful. No matter what you think, someone's grandma, mum, auntie, daughter, sister, wife, whatever has definitely, I'm not going to say the obvious joke there, but she has passed away. So please be respectful. And also, as I said on Twitter, you know, it devastated me because my nan is very, 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 very similar in stature, in age, in just everything. And she's not well at all. So please just bear in mind that, you know, some people will be grieving in their own way. So don't boo, don't be a dick. Just, you know, if you don't want to observe it, stay on the concourse. Just wait a bit. But just remember, like this, you know, a lot of people will have been reminded of their own grief of losing a loved one over this. So yeah, just be respectful. And on that note, Nobbets, good night.
The Wednesday Week is sponsored by Michael Constantine Wealth Management. We bet you can't find a financial advisor closer to Hillsborough Stadium.
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points back of the net. Lubosch! Ultimate delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.